Not intimidating the reader is one of the goals of the Penguin Live series. From Mao to Mozart, these short biographies make their subjects accessible to the non-specialist. Historian Gary Wills wrote the volume on St. Augustine, a 4th-century African bishop, who's best known for his Confessions and for his decadent youth. Wills says the young saint doesn't deserve the unsavory reputation that posterity's given him.
At age 16, he began a liaison with a woman with whom he lived for the next 15 or 16 years, and he had a child by her. He became very fond of that child, who died young, and wrote a dialogue that he had conducted with him. But when he became a Christian, an ascetic Christian who would not marry, he denounced his earlier youth in the book called Confessiones, which is transliterated Confessions, although it's not quite what he meant by it. He denounces his sinful youth, and people have made him into a great libertine because of that, whereas actually he led a quite tame sex life with only one woman, to whose bed I was faithful, as he puts it.
I think that if anyone were to try to attach a single word to him, it would be dissolute.
Yeah, it's from that misunderstanding that he's denouncing himself as saints do for their wayward youth, but he was very far from dissolute. He was very disciplined. He made his way by being a rhetorician at a time when that was the entry for people of the middle class like himself into the Roman hierarchy of political office. And he rose very rapidly and was appointed the court orator to the emperor, whose court was not in Rome at that time, but in Milan. So he shot up in his 20s as this rising star, a young philosopher and orator and rhetorician and artist in prose. So he worked very hard. There was nothing very dissolute about that.
And going back to his youth, was it uncommon to have a Christian mother and a pagan father and to try other religions before becoming a Christian?
No, it was quite common. See, in the 4th century, remember early in the 4th century, Constantine, the Roman emperor, had converted to Christianity, and he had made Christianity the official religion of the empire. But it was a very thin layer that he imposed. So, no, it was a time of tremendous religious diversity, hardly ever any indifference. There aren't any atheists around, but there were believers in all kinds of different gods. And it was out of the East that Manichaeism came, a belief that there was a cosmic battle between good and evil. And so, in effect, Augustine shopped around in these. He became not only a Manichaean, but a skeptic, which was called an academic in those days, in which you didn't know exactly which religion was pleasing, although you didn't deny the existence of gods. And then he became a Neoplatonist at the last stage, which helped to get him into the frame of Christian thought, because the people he dealt with in Milan were Christian Neoplatonists, and that was the door through which he entered.
What was it about the Neoplatonism that appealed to him, that helped him move toward Christian beliefs?
Mainly the belief in spirit. He didn't know whether there was spirit as something different from matter.
Once he had converted then to Christianity, did he have any regrets?
Never had any regrets. He was forced to become a priest. That was a common thing then. You had to be dragooned. And he was forced to become a bishop. He had wanted to live in retirement and become a mystic and a contemplative, but the press of business didn't allow him to do that, so he took it as his duty. Christians at that time had almost a military discipline among themselves. If a community asked you to be their priest, you couldn't really turn them down.
Among the reams of paper that he left behind is quite a variety of his sermons. Was he a speaker to whom people listened?
He was a terrifically popular speaker. He was dramatic, theatrical. When you read the sermons, they were taken down by stenographers, by the way, as almost all of his writing was. Almost everybody in late antiquity dictated, didn't write with their own pen. There were scribes with shorthand systems who were very good at their work. Anyway, you read the scribe taking down the sermon, and people burst out into applause, and they shout, and he'll bring up some subject, and they'll say, where did that come from? And he'll answer them. It's a good deal like some of the black churches that I've been at with Jesse Jackson, where there's this kind of call and response. And he even used rhyming slang the way Jackson does in his sermons. He was a terrific orator and preacher.
Can you give me an example of a kind of dialogue that he would engage in that engaged so many of the people who heard him?
Well, in his early dialogues, he was very funny. One time he was asleep with a pupil in a villa where they were in retreat and studying, and the pupil said that he could explain why there was a gurgling that resumed and stopped and resumed and stopped, that there were leaves that were piling up and then being flushed out after there was enough buildup of water behind them. They're just lying in the dark telling the story and talking about a mouse that they could hear. And Augustine convinces this young man, who had not been a sincere Christian up to that point, that he understands causes. He can explain the cause of something without seeing it. He said, that's the way you get at understanding God. Why don't you pursue that? And the guy gets very excited about that. So in the morning, when he went to the outhouse, he sang a Christian hymn while he was in the outhouse, and Augustine's mother came to him and said, that's not very good. That's blasphemous to be singing to the Holy Spirit while you're in the outhouse. And Augustine said, no. He's purging his body's impurities there, and he's purging his soul's impurities at the same time. It's very appropriate.
He lived quite a long time. He was in his 70s when he died, wasn't he? And all of that time he served the church?
Almost a half century that he was writing as a very productive Christian.
Did he influence Christian thought?
Tremendously, in various ways. The City of God is often misinterpreted as trying to set up the relations of church and state. He didn't think that at all. He thought all earthly power, including church power, was contrasted with the ideal structures of heavenly power. But nonetheless, that misunderstanding had a tremendous influence on the Middle Ages. The whole fight over what were the proper relations of church and state was carried on in large part by quoting and misquoting Augustine. Also, his doctrine of grace was the most popular reading of that by the Lutherans and the Calvinists. So he's often considered the father of the Reformation, Protestant Reformation. And Catholics, of whom I'm one, have tended not to be as enthusiastic about him as some other saints like Thomas Aquinas, because they think of him as having been commandeered by the Protestants. He's often thought to be pessimistic about human nature because he says that grace is needed, that nature of itself cannot save itself. I think that's often exaggerated and overrated. But anyway, as I say, he's at the heart of all kinds of controversies. You can hardly discuss the doctrine of the Trinity without going to Augustine. Yeah, he's everywhere.
I know that it's an impossible question to answer, but for someone who has no real knowledge of St. Augustine, is there a place you would start?
Well, sure, the Confessions. That's the most intimate of his works. I think that's clearly the starting place. Selections of his sermons are a good place, too, if you find a good selection. Some of the early dialogues especially are very winning. Well, unfortunately, most people, after the Confessions, they all think that they have to plunge into the City of God, which is a huge, voluminous work. He wrote it over a long, long period and seems at times to wander around, although there is a structure that becomes clear as you work with it. But I think many people take that on before they're ready, and that kind of turns them off to the rest of him.
In addition to the Penguin Life of St. Augustine, historian Gary Wills has written Papal Sin and Lincoln at Gettysburg.